sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out. Good morning. This is Becky Ivins, and we are here for Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, and we welcome you as you prepare for the inclement weather this afternoon. Do be weather aware today. We have a really awesome event today. Just the thing for really high gusty winds is our shred event. We have a shred party once a year where my team will come to your car, get your stuff that you want to be shredded, and shred it on site for free. And we usually do this at the Healthy Living Center on North Rockwell, but there were too many of you that participated, and I didn't like all the traffic in their parking lot, so we moved it. And the kind folks over at Higher Plains Baptist Church across the street from our office, which is just east of Rockwell, by the way. So it's 6810 Northwest 122nd Street. And come see us. We'll be there from 9:30 to 1:30 today. If it starts lightning or the tornadoes come in earlier than expected, we will quit early. We don't want to put anybody in danger, but we do want to shred your stuff. So come see us. We'll be the ones in the shirts, the yellow shirts that say Becky Ivins Real Estate Team on them. And we just want to touch base with you and say hi, basically, so we create an event for that. So that's happening today. And also today, I promised you that we would hear about insulation. So insulation experts are in the house today. I'm going to have you guys introduce yourselves, sort of. Zach, Zach Long with USA Insulation is a former client. I always say a client for life because we rarely do business with someone once because we get to where we like you and we're friends with you and you come back and say, let's do this again. So, Zach, tell us your background, how we met. How did you even hear about me to start with?
I actually heard about you on the station.
Oh, you did? Yeah. So, okay. So you're a conservative young guy.
Absolutely.
You guys are few and far between, I'll tell you. The demographic of our listeners is usually a little older than you.
Right.
But that's great when we meet someone, a like-minded fellow citizen like that. So you heard on the radio, and then you just called.
Yeah, absolutely. I was trying to get rid of my house and had it on the market for about a year. And I heard you on Glenn Beck and called you up and got you involved. And I think you had my house sold in a week.
Maybe
10 days.
Something like that. It was not at a time when things were selling real fast,
right,
for sure.
Right.
And we didn't have you do that much to it, did we? But sometimes I can walk in, spot something, I'll be going, oh, that's going to keep this house from selling. But we did have you, like, paint a room, if I recall.
Right, right.
And that was about it. I don't remember a whole lot else. You probably do because you were the one doing it.
Yeah, so we had moved out of the house, so luckily there wasn't a whole lot of junk or anything, but we didn't have it staged or anything.
Yeah. So, and we didn't stage it. We just had you paint a few things that were
right.
A little bit more vanilla, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and you and I both wish we'd held on to those properties a little bit longer till they went up, right?
Yeah, the market exploded right after I sold it.
I know.
That's how it goes.
Well, and you can't predict that stuff usually.
Yeah, no.
So you also cannot predict a decline.
Yeah.
And that's even more devastating. So if you already own it and it goes down below what your mortgage is on it, that's terrible.
Right.
So, okay, how'd you get into the insulation business?
I was in the window industry for a little while, selling energy efficient windows. And towards the end, my conscience got to me. I was really looking at things, and I came to realize that windows really don't save you a whole lot of money, not nearly as much as window salesmen will lead you to believe. So I decided I want to get out on my own and do something. And USA Insulation kind of came across my lap, and I started doing my due diligence on the product, and it's like, wow, this is a heck of an idea. If we can actually go into older homes and inject foam insulation and re-insulate the house, and that's, it's a great idea. So I did my due diligence, found out the product is what it is. it does work the way we say it does. So I was all in after that.
Okay, awesome. You brought somebody with you today.
Yeah, this is Mike Olney. He's my head installer. He's been with me for a couple of years now, knows a ton about insulation. He's actually done spray foam for many, many years before he met me. He's just kind of become my right-hand man, and now he is going to be heading up my new office in Tulsa here in about 2 months.
Okay, well, good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Becky. Thank you for having us.
My pleasure. I always love to get the experts on that actually know their product and know what they can do when it involves a house. And with interest rates going up, and they went up again, you know, it's in the 7.5 range now. When interest rates go up, what can you do to keep your bills down? Well, one thing you can do is increase your insulation.
Absolutely.
I just bought a house in Florida, and it does not. It has the original insulation from 1999, and I wish you were there. I might send you there. And hey, how about going and staying in Florida for a week? And by the way, insulate my house while you're there. That might work.
Yeah.
But the insulation saves on your monthly bill. And I think most of us know that. It's just hard to do that outlay of money up front in order to get smaller savings each month. Do you know what the return on investment is? Like how the average, just kind of a range of once you install insulation. Now, first I want to talk about old houses.
Okay.
The ones that either have no insulation in the walls or have old bat insulation in the walls. And the insulated walls didn't really start until about 1960. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of difference in houses between the 1950s and 60s. You know, and one of the things is electricity was grounded in the 60s, but not in the 50s. So you had the two-prong plugs.
Yeah.
In fact, even in the early 60s, that didn't happen. You had galvanized plumbing in the 50s houses. 60s, you got copper.
That's right.
The walls were not insulated in the 1950s houses. They were just built. They used tar paper usually on the outside of the wall. Before they would put the siding or the brick on or something like that. More of a water barrier than an insulation thing, right?
That's right.
Okay. Now, we're totally different now, but what can someone do and what is the return on investment for let's just go 1950s house?
Well, like you said, that's the vast, vast majority of those houses that are built in the 50s is going to have absolutely zero insulation in the walls. A lot of times there's zero insulation in the attic as well. So you really need to insulate that house. And without tearing the sheetrock down and completely redoing everything, you've really only got a couple options. Of course, it's always easy to go in the attic and blow in new insulation. That's not a problem at all. But as far as insulating your walls, you can either do what's called a drill and fill, which is where we drill about a 4-inch hole between each cavity and the sheetrock and then blow in either a fiberglass or cellulose insulation. That's always an option. I don't recommend it. Even though the products are less expensive, you're going to spend about the same amount because it's so labor intensive. You got a really big hole to fix. And despite what people tell you, any type of blown in insulation, especially in the walls, will settle. They'll tell you that it won't, but unless you just really, really pack it in there, it's going to settle. So what we do is do injection foam. We drill usually from the outside. We can go from the inside, but if it's a brick house, we drill 5/8-inch holes through the mortar joints and then pump our foam in. It goes in kind of with a consistency of shaving foam, and then it sets up almost immediately within 48 hours since it's fully cured. It shrinks just a little bit, which is good because that actually allows the house to breathe, but it's got a 5.1 R per inch R value, which is extremely high. That's higher than your open cell spray foams, and it's almost up there with right with a lot of the closed cell. Closed cell foam, that's 5.5 to 6.5 R per inch is what you're going to see on those. So it's a great product. Normally people, as far as savings goes, it varies. We've had people call in and tell me they've saved up to 60% on their energy bills.
Well, and we're going to go a little bit more into detail on that. If you want to be a part of the conversation, please do give us a call. Our number here is 405 8104. Go ahead. Tell them, Mike.
405-840-1000.
There you go. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins, and we are here today talking with Zach Neer about USA Insulation. And we're really not just talking about USA Insulation. If you have any question about insulation, I want you to call. We try very hard not to do an infomercial here because we just want to educate our listeners. And before we go any further,
NMLS number 196895.
We have our money man, Mr. Dean Riddell, SWBC Mortgage. How are you, Dean?
Good morning, Becky. How are you?
Doing great. Are you going to come out and help us load things at our shred event today?
You know, I think I'm on the way to the office now, and I may have to swing by there just here in a little bit.
There you go. We'll be there from 9:30 to 1:30 today at the Higher Plains Baptist Church, and we don't even have you get out of your car. We come to the car and get your stuff to shred, and you can see us put it into the truck. So
and that's just to the south of your office, correct?
It is. We're across the street from my office.
Yep. So yep. I know where you're at.
Well, the mortgage interest rates went up this week.
Yeah, it has, Becky. You know, and it's a you know, some point in time, you think this has got to change course of the path that it's on. But we all anticipated, as you know, continuing slippage. You know, I say that from a month ago, thinking rates were going to slip slowly throughout the year. But what we've seen in the last 3 weeks is, you know, rates close to that 7.5% again.
Yeah.
So. And that's where it was, if you remember. It was a little bit higher than that, probably 6 months ago, if we roll the clock back. But things have, you know, kind of changed path. And we're busy, which always, you know, God controls my business. But it's fascinating to me that I think a lot of people have just adapted to, I want to buy a house. I want to get it, you know, before, you know, I wait for rates to change. And so people are out looking and writing contracts, and I know you've sold a couple of lately too. So
well,
it's still busy.
I think we sold three this weekend and three last weekend. So I mean, it's people are buying houses, but they're doing it with some buy down money from the seller.
Right.
They'll get the interest rate a little bit lower for the first couple of years, and then they can refinance if the rates do fall down a little bit. So that's a great product. How do people get hold of you, Dean?
Yeah, they can call my office, 858, area code 405-7770, or my cell phone. I always throw that out there, Becky, just because my phone rings weekends and evenings like yours, but 405-229-1559.
I'm going to say that in the right order. How is that? It's 405. 405, and what's your prefix and your number?
405-858-7770.
I'm not trusting myself with numbers for some reason this morning. So so thank you, Dean. And we depend on our favorite people. It's on our website, by the way. If you ever wonder where a phone number is, now they're not going to be every number on there because we're pretty selective as to who gets on there. You just go to Becky's Favorites, and it will say their phone number, have their logo, link to their website, that kind of stuff. So thank you, Dean Riddell, SWBC Mortgage. And now we are here with Zach Neer with USA Insulation, and we're talking about ROI. Now, I live with ROI because I spend money on advertising, as you do. I've seen your commercials on morning TV. I run my Barbara Corcoran commercials on morning TV, and your commercials are right there, too. So I know you spend money on commercials, so you're aware of return on investment.
Sure.
Okay. But the homeowner, do you talk to them about their return on investment?
Yes, we do. We can't really give a solid number. I mean, that's one of the more common questions we get is, you know, how long it's going to take to pay for itself. It really depends, you know, what you have in your walls already, how you use your appliances, your AC. On average, people save about 33% on their energy bills. That's a good number to shoot for. Some see lower, some see a lot higher. Like I said earlier, we've seen people with 60% savings. We did a house that was built in 2005, which is fairly new, and she called in and said it was like 55% savings on her energy bills. So I was really surprised by that one, because it was, you know, it should have been a fairly well insulated house being 20 years old.
You would think.
Yeah.
That, wow, someone maybe didn't build it so good, right? Now, I know you can get like an energy audit, and they use like a thermal camera and show you where you're lacking insulation.
Right. And we don't do actual formal audits, but we do. We all have thermal cameras. I can look in your walls and kind of tell what you have. The best way to really tell for sure is we'll normally drill about a 1-inch hole on an exterior wall, usually in a closet or something. That way we can put a probe in and see how good the insulation is, and see, put a camera in, see, you know, really the quality that you have. That way we can give you an idea of what you have and what you can expect.
Right. And do you ever drill into it and advise people, hey, you really are pretty good?
Sure. Yeah, it's definitely happened. One of the first things we do, especially if they have a batten type insulation, is stick a probe in and let it go. And I tell my guys, if it pushes itself back out, then, you know, there's not a whole lot we can do. We need to just walk away from that one.
Yeah, just tell them they're well insulated and go for it, right?
Yep.
Okay, well, we have Rick on the phone wanting to ask a question. Good morning, Rick.
Morning.
How are you today?
I am doing awesome. How about you?
Well, I'm fearing the wind today with our shred event.
Yeah, I bet.
What's your question about insulation?
Well, my question is, you know, when you think about a house and you see the, you know, structural strength, of course, the outside is going to be a whole lot stouter than the inside. So I guess my question would be, on the sheetrock, as you're injecting this in, how does it not keep from, you know, pushing your walls or blowing your walls out? How does that work?
And how does it keep? I had a question about that, too. Great question, Rick. How do you do the, when you inject it, how do you not disturb the electrical and the water and stuff that might be inside that house?
Well, I'll take that. So, Rick, that's a great question. I'll handle yours first. So that's a question we hear a lot. And typically, there's a couple of things here that I want to address. Typically, when people think about foam insulation, what most people know is spray foam insulation. And I think by this time, we've all seen, most of us have seen a lot of videos of how that's applied and how much it expands. So that's going to be a common thing. You're wondering, if it's going to expand in my walls like that, how is it not going to break my sheetrock? So the foam that we use for injection foam is quite a bit different from spray foam in that it actually doesn't expand at all. If you think of it like a shaving cream and the consistency that it comes out, and then imagine it completely filling your wall cavity and then just getting hard in there, that's how it works. So you don't have to worry about that expansion, because if it did expand the way spray foam does, that's exactly what would happen. It would blow the sheetrock off the walls, right? And that's not...
Yeah, it would.
Right.
There may not be an explosion, but it certainly would push out the nails and stuff, end up painting your whole house.
Right, exactly. And then the second point of that process is that our installers are all highly trained and certified in-house. They have a very specific process that they follow to ensure that your walls get completely full without breaking the sheetrock off.
And do you use that thermal imaging to find out whether or not they get full? How do you know when they get full?
So it's a little in depth to get into that entire process. It would be kind of hard to explain in layman's terms. But,
give it a try. Come on.
Okay, so I'll give you an example. Okay, so when we're doing a brick house, which is 90% of what we do here in Oklahoma, the process works is that we'll start at the bottom of the wall with small 5/8 holes that we drill in the mortar joints. And for the people listening, if you can imagine, the size of a dime roughly is the size of these holes. Right. So we're going to drill a series of holes up the wall in each cavity outside. We start at the bottom. We have a little nozzle that goes in. Foam starts going in at the bottom of the wall. Now we have a little probe in the next hole. And when that probe starts moving and we pull that out and there's foam on it, that's how we know that the foam has gone from the bottom to that next hole. Right. And then we're going to repeat that process up the wall. But on that last hole, what we're waiting for is for that probe to start pushing itself back out the wall. And that's how we know that that cavity is full and that foam is trying to come back out at us now.
Okay. Well, I mean, kind of a simple process,
sure,
actually, but and I'm sure it's a little more in depth than what, but I appreciate you dumbing it down for me, okay?
Absolutely.
So what are some of the most common questions you get? Well, what is the R value, I would think?
R value is 5.1 R per inch. And,
your holes are usually about 3 inches thick, because 2x4s really aren't 4 inches thick.
Yeah, they're just under 4 inches. I think what are they?
3 3/4 or something like that.
So yeah, so you're going to see, you know, close to a 20R.
Okay.
In the walls, which is much higher than you're going to get on any type
That's
of.
That's great. You guys give us a call and we'll answer your question here about insulation. Thank you for listening. We'll be right back after this with more of Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins. If you want to give me a call, I invite that. Give me a call at, well, this morning, it's 405-840-1000. During the week, it is 722-3232. Give me a call. I love to just sit down and talk to you and help you solve a problem. There's at least twice a week I go and just sit down and talk to somebody that's going, should I move? Should I not move? I feel like I need to, but is now the time? And we just sit down and discuss. And that way you get the information you need to make a good decision. So give me a call, 722-3232. And I am here with our, oh, well, let's do our word of the day, Mike. What do you think? It is time for our word of the day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing. Mike is grimacing because I am so bad on my numbers today. Robbins Roofing, their word every day is trust. You can trust them from a small repair to a complete roof replacement. Give my friends Larry and Jennifer a call at 405-728-3700. It's 728-3700. And that's Robbins Roofing is bringing us our word of the day. Our word of the day today, what is it, Zach?
Tripolymer.
Tripolymer. And that's really what you put into the walls, is a tripolymer. Tri makes me think you're trying real hard, or it's probably three things put together. Is that right?
Right. It's the three components that our foam is made out of, which really separates us from your spray foam. So a spray foam has two components, an A and a B. Injection foam is called a tripolymer, so it's made out of three things: air, a foaming agent, which is what makes the bubbles, and then the resin, which is where the magic happens. That's what gives it the R value and all the good stuff.
And resins come out of trees, right?
That's right.
Sticky, sticky. If you've ever had a boy that you have had a boy climb a tree, right?
Right.
My girl climbed a lot of trees too, but you get that stickiness that comes in, particularly pine trees.
Yeah.
So, okay. So that's our word of the day today. If you want to be a part of our conversation, or maybe you want to send this to someone else to listen to, maybe not today, but you can find us on iHeart, the iHeart app for our podcast. You can find us on Spotify, wherever you get your apps. Just go there and look for Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move or Becky Ivins. So, what's our next question, Zach? Go ahead. Let's just try to trick your employee here.
let's see. It's been kind of really hard to trick Mike. All right, Mike, why don't you explain really the difference between an open cell and closed cell spray foam?
Sure. So open cell spray foam, really the main difference between open cell and closed cell is the expansion rate in it. So an open cell foam is going to expand much more rapidly and much farther than a closed cell. It's also going to be much more permeable than your closed cell foam. So it's going to still allow some air passage through. but it's used primarily and in like on roof lines and such where you want to get extreme expansion. You want to make sure that every crevice is filled, right? Your closed cell foam is going to be a much more secure air barrier, which is usually used for exterior walls.
Okay. So I live in, my house has the stuff that goes on the underside of the roof that is a foam.
Right.
But that's not what you do.
Well, we do.
Okay.
We do spray foam as well, but primarily injection foam. That's what we're using for to do an already existing home, right?
We're talking about all your commercials on TV right now. I think that's hilarious. Okay. As I look across the room, I'm going USA Insulation, and that's you guys. You do existing homes. Do you do new homes?
We are about to get a spray foam rig. We've got it on order. So in July, we will now be doing spray foam. We can do small projects right now with froth packs and stuff, but our new spray foam rig is coming in a couple months, and it's the latest and the greatest. It's actually called a high-volume, low-pressure rig. So we can actually go in and spray somebody's house, and they can re-enter in 2 to 4 hours, which on a high-pressure rig, they're usually going to have to spend the night somewhere else and be out of that home for up to 24, 48 hours. But with our new rig, 2 to 4 hours, and it's safe to go back inside.
You know, in decades past, that has been a real issue, is the toxicity
right
of this. Some people were spraying inside their walls a carcinogenic. So how does yours compare to that? Or how does today's product, no matter the company, today's product, how does it compare to the older products?
To tell you the truth, I'm not 100% familiar with the older products, but it's still not something you want to breathe. It's just with this. Well, actually, Mike, you and I were talking about this the other day. It's really the pressure is what makes it safer. So why don't you explain that?
Right. So first, I want to just distinguish between our product, the injection foam, and the spray foam. So our injection foam does not have any carcinogens. It does not give off any sort of toxic fumes at all. You don't actually have to leave your house at all while we're installing that foam.
Okay.
Now, as far as the spray foam goes, the difference me and Zach were talking about the other day is when you use – you have two types of systems to install spray foam, a high-pressure rig and a low-pressure rig. And the only difference there is the speed at which those chemicals are atomizing. They're being smashed together, right? So with a high-pressure rig, you're going to get a lot of fumage from that high-pressure compression of these chemicals, right?
Okay. So that's why you ordered a low-pressure rig, right?
That's exactly right, because when you install with a low-pressure rig, you can have a reentry time of as little as 4 hours. Compared to possibly 24 hours to 48 hours using a higher pressure system.
Is the low pressure a little bit slower to do?
It is a little bit slower, but not by much.
I would think it would be safer for the person installing it too.
Oh, absolutely.
But you guys probably wear respirators or something.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You just want to be careful, right?
Of course.
Because you don't want that stuff in your lungs expanding like that, right?
Right.
Okay. Well, we have Amanda asking a question today. Okay. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great today. How about you?
I'm doing good.
Okay. Do you have a question?
Yeah. I was just wondering how they would recommend I would insulate a new home that I'm currently building.
Okay. Well, and we've talked about existing homes and how you can go in. Even if they have bad insulation, you guys can go in and increase the R value at least double, if not triple.
Right.
But how about the new home?
So every product has its positives and negatives. If cost is no object, then I would definitely go with the spray foam on a new build. You're going to get a higher R value. It's going to seal your house up, all those cracks and gaps, and it's going to last forever. Where your traditional insulations, your cellulose, your fiberglass, that's going to deteriorate over time. But you're talking about a significantly higher investment if you're going to do spray foam.
Well, and spray foam does not it doesn't breathe. I mean, like you seal it up and you don't put vents in your house with that spray foam.
Right. Yeah. Anytime you're going to do spray foam, you need to make sure you get with your HVAC contractor and make sure that house has the proper ventilation, because if you don't, you're going to run into some mold issues.
Yeah. You've got to be really careful about that. But it is like we can walk into our attic and it can be 110 degrees outside And our attic is only going to be maybe 8 degrees hotter than the inside of the house. So that's a pretty neat thing.
Oh, yeah. That's a, I mean, yeah. If you go into any house, in, especially in the summer months of Oklahoma, and walk into the attic, if they don't have that attic, you know, spray foamed, you're walking into a sweat box. I mean, it doesn't take more than a couple seconds, and you're perspiring profusely, at least for me. So, yeah, having that spray foam, especially on the underside of the roof, it makes a huge difference.
Right. And cost-wise, is it like double the cost?
So I would say maybe triple.
Oh, wow.
It just depends. Open cell is going to be a little bit less expensive. Closed cell is expensive. On your attic, you're usually going to do an open cell because it does breathe just a little bit. And then your walls, you're going to do a closed cell. But if it's your forever home, I would definitely do spray foam all day long. If it's a house you're not going to live in for very long and you're on a tight budget, then you might want to look at one of the more traditional insulations. I would personally stay away from cellulose. I really don't like the stuff. I would go with a fiberglass bat or a blown-in fiberglass in the attic and then a fiberglass bat in the walls. I personally just really don't like cellulose. I would stay away from it. It's not
a
very good product.
And cellulose has it has a fire retardant in it nowadays. Back in the day, it did not. And it also has a little bit of an antimicrobial element to it. How about the foam?
Right. The cellulose, it has a burn rate. It's still classified as a class one fire retardant, but the burn point on cellulose is about 400 to 500 degrees, where on a foam it's 1,000 or more.
Okay. So used to the old stuff that you didn't want to breathe, that was a problem with it too. It was flammable.
Yeah. And cellulose it's basically a crushed up newspaper that's been soaked in boric acid. And I tell people, you know, they say boric acid is harmless, but they used to say that about cigarettes too. So I would stay away
from it. Boric acid, you can wash, if you get an eye infection, they give you boric acid to wash it out with, right? Okay. So it's a little bit more of a natural, like bug retardant too. You can put boric acid around your house,
yes,
and the ants don't cross it.
That's
that
right.
Kind of thing. Well, we've got a lot more to talk about with our experts from USA Insulation, and we'll be back right after this with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins, and I am the leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, and we want you to call us. Our number is pretty easy to remember. It's 405. Of course, we're in central Oklahoma. So it is 722-3232. We are here with Zach Neer from USA Insulation. And we're going to talk a little bit more about insulation. If you want to call us, it is 405-840-1000. Mark Carr, I miss you. This is wedding weekend for two of our agents. So they are out with their kids and family having weddings. So congratulations, Kylie. Okay, it is now time. Hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot, hot, hot. Oh, no. It is time for our smoking hot deal, brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill. I will tell you, I ate at Casa Perico's yesterday. You guys want to go this week? I'll take you out to eat at Casa Perico. They've got a new location on May Avenue, just north of Hefner Road. They've got one on Route 66 in Yukon, 122nd and Penn, and their original at Northwest 63rd, just west of Meridian, which is around the corner from us, by the way, from where we are. So our smoking hot deal. I want to offer you your personal smoking hot deal. How's that? If you're looking for a house or rental property or office building or land to build on, let us find the absolute best deal for you. We sign a contract when we work with buyers. A lot of people get real shocked about that. It's now going to be the law in July that you have to sign a contract to show a buyer a house. Well, we've been doing this for at least a decade. You know, so my agents somehow want to get paid after they sell a house. And my sellers don't mind paying for an agent to sell a house. So there you go. So we'll create your own smoke and hot deal for you. So what's the one other thing that you want people to know, Zach, about insulation in general?
You really need to make sure your house is insulated properly. And there's only one way to do it, and that's to have somebody come out and take a look. So many people think their houses are well insulated. Then I go out there and take a look, and I'm like, there's nothing in your walls. Let me see your bills. And I can tell exactly why your bills are so high. I've actually had people tell me that they're like, well, isn't brick a good insulator? Well, absolutely not.
No, brick absorbs heat. absorbs heat and transfers cold and all kinds of stuff. But the takeaway I'm getting from this is there are different types of insulation for different types of structures and products, you know. But in Oklahoma in particular, we deal actually with a higher bill, a higher utility bill on keeping things cool than we do on getting the heat. Up north, you want to protect yourself heat-wise. But here, both heat and cold, and also weather. I mean, the rain that sometimes comes sideways. How do you guys fill in those holes you drill?
We keep mortar on the truck. Like Mike said, the vast majority of the houses we do are brick. So we just keep mortar on the truck along with dye. And when we're done, we just match that mortar and fill the holes in. If it's a siding house, what we do is we take a piece of the siding off around the house, we drill through the decking, and then we pump the foam in. Once we're done, we just put a plug back in that decking hole and put the siding back up.
Okay, so I'm glad to hear the word dye, because I'm picturing driving up to a house and it looks like it's got measles, right? Because you've drilled holes all the way through it, but you try to match as much as you can on the existing mortar if you drill through brick, right?
Right, and these guys have gotten really good at it over the years. We actually... They take some of it, and they'll show it to the homeowner and make sure they're okay with it.
Okay. Patrick is on the line. Good morning, Patrick. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. I have the original rock wool and cellulose. Does that need to come out before they put the foam in?
Oh, that's a good idea. Rock wool was in the 50s mainly.
Right.
And it was a great
mine
product.
Mine was built in the 60s. But...
60s, okay. Well, probably so. And... it was a great product, but it settles. Mm-hmm. So then people would go in with either fiberglass or cellulose. So how do you do that? Like if it's in the attic?
If it's in the attic, our foam won't work in attics. It has to be in an enclosed space. If it gets too much air to it, the product won't set up right. So in the attics, unless you would want us to come in and do spray foam, we'll just put more blown-in insulation on top of it, or we can remove it and start over. Either putting new blown-in insulation or spray foam. As far as the walls goes, it's not necessary to take the existing insulation out. Like we said earlier, the injection foam that we use goes in kind of like shaving foam, and it's going to push back any existing insulation, or if it's a loose blown-in, it'll just kind of soak into it and compress it.
Okay. So did that answer your question, Patrick?
That's one of them. I have heard that people spray the underside of their roofing.
Roof decking, uh-huh.
So the one thing you're going to want to take into account when you do that, and there's nothing wrong with doing it, but what you're doing is you're moving your thermal boundary from your ceiling up to the roof line. So it's an effect. It's going to be effective as an insulator, but you have to take into account that you're now going to be paying to condition the space in your attic as well as your house, if that makes sense.
That does make sense.
Oh, okay.
But it's such a good seal.
It
still saves you money.
Sure. And another option, though, to avoid that is let's say you have rock wool or you have something on your ceiling already, right? That can be removed, and you can spray foam the actual ceiling in the attic instead, which will keep that thermal boundary right there where you want it.
If you do that, do you have to vent it?
Do you?
Vent the attic space.
Well, your attics are typically going to be
They're going to have ventilation in one form or another. They're going to have soffit vents, gable vents, turbines, something. Yeah.
And that's something that was shocking to me to learn, is that when you use that, is it called closed cell insulation, where you, it's on the decking, underside of the decking? Is that closed or open?
It could be either.
Oh, okay. Well, the kind we have, you cannot vent your attic, which is weird to me, because Larry Robbins always tells me, you got to do your ventilation, but you have to know your product. If someone wanted to get hold of you guys, how would they do it, Zach?
Our local phone number is 405-540-5020. We have a 1-800 number. It's pretty easy to remember. It's just 1-800-USA-FOAM.
There you go, USA Foam. And we, by the way, remember, we're going to be out at the Higher Plains Baptist Church on Northwest 122nd today, 9:30 to 1:30. Bring your sensitive documents that you want to shred. It's free. You get to watch them be shredded. And I thank you guys for coming. And I'll try to put you on my favorites page. I'm not going to do that myself, so it'll have to wait till Monday. But if you want to find them, just go to BeckyIvins.com. Look at Becky's favorites, and you're going to find our friends here, and they know all about insulation. Jim Ivins, sing us out. We'll see you guys next week.
May each day in the week be a good day. May the Lord always watch over you, and may all of your hopes turn to wishes, and may all of your wishes come true. May each day